You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, On the Team, In the Game. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Each of the winning players in today's Super Bowl game will receive a ring. I assume that for years to come, that Super Bowl ring will be an impressive reminder to each player that he had a part to play in a great victory. How could a player look at that ring and not feel a great sense of satisfaction? Satisfaction not only because he was on the winning team, but satisfaction because he played a part in winning the game. As impressive as that ring is, you know that it's rather insignificant in the eternal scheme of things. Today, I want to tell you about the satisfaction you can have by living an active Christian life. To use sports terminology, I want to encourage you not only to be on the team, but also in the game. Then you'll experience tremendous satisfaction in living. You'll be satisfied because God puts His blessing upon active Christians. That's a greater and more lasting satisfaction than you'd ever get from receiving a Super Bowl ring, which is admittedly an impressive thing. Jesus talked about God's blessing upon Christians who are on the team and in the game in His famous Beatitudes from St. Matthew chapter 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, Matthew recounts, He went up a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to Him and He began to teach them. Over the years, millions and millions of people have been blessed by what Jesus teaches in His Beatitudes. Before you can be in the game, you must be on the team. That is, you must be a true Christian. Jesus' first Beatitude says, "Blessed are those who recognize they are spiritually helpless. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them." Before you can lead an active Christian life, you have to be a true Christian. Most of the countries where this program is heard are countries where Christianity is the predominant religion. However, just because Christianity is a culture's predominant religion does not mean that every citizen is a true Christian. So before you can lead an active Christian life, you must first become a true believer. Hebrews 11:6 says, "No one can please God without faith." Before you can be in the game, you have to be on the team. And that requires two things. The first is to recognize, as Jesus teaches in this beatitude, that you are spiritually helpless. That doesn't mean that you don't have any spiritual sensitivities. By nature, you may be a spiritual person. That also doesn't mean that you're not involved in any organized religious activities. You may well be. When Jesus talks about being spiritually helpless, He's saying something far more serious than superficial, cultural Christians imagine. Ephesians 2:1 says, "You were dead because of your failures and sins." Dead is dead. A corpse may be nicely dressed and may have received good cosmetic treatment, but it's still a corpse. You may think of yourself as a spiritual person, and you may be involved in some religious activities, but you are essentially and spiritually helpless. When you realize that, Jesus says, blessed are you. Blessed are those who recognize that they are spiritually helpless. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Jesus here is talking about anyone who has been made right with God because the Spirit of God has worked in their heart faith that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Are you such a person? Do you know and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came into this world and died on the cross to earn the forgiveness of your sins? Do you know and believe that Jesus' resurrection from the dead on Easter morning means that you and all the followers of Christ will one day rise from the dead and live with Him in the eternal bliss of heaven? If you believe that, If you believe that through the good news of Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God is able to resurrect your spiritually helpless corpse, then you are blessed. Then you are a true Christian. And then, using the language of sports, you are on the team. Let me now introduce you to some super Christians who are on the team and in the game. While TV, radio, and the press were hyping the Super Bowl these last days, there were several unnoticed observations going on in the Christian church. This past week, the calendar of the church remembered some people from the past, people from the first century of the Christian church, who were active in living the Christian faith. But as we said, first, these active Christians had to become Christians. This past Thursday, the church remembered the conversion of St. Paul the Apostle. He's a great example of what I said earlier. He was an extremely religious man whom God had to strike down so that he would realize that he was, in fact, spiritually helpless and could only be saved through Jesus. Paul tells his story in Acts 22. "I'm a Jew," he says. "I was born and raised in the city of Tarsus in Cilicia and received my education from Gamaliel here in Jerusalem. My education was in the strict rules handed down by our ancestors. I was as devoted to God as all of you are today. I persecuted people who followed the way of Christ. I tied up men and women and put them into prison until they were executed. The chief priest and the entire council of our elders can prove that I did this. In fact, they even gave me letters to take to the Jewish community in the city of Damascus. I was going there to tie up believers and bring them back to Jerusalem to punish them. But as I was on my way and approaching the city of Damascus about noon, a bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice asking me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' I answered, 'Who are you, sir?' The person told me, 'I'm Jesus from Nazareth, the one you're persecuting.' The men who were with me saw the light, but didn't understand what the person who was speaking to me said. Then I asked, 'What do you want me to do, Lord?' The Lord told me, 'Get up, go into the city of Damascus, and you'll be told everything I've arranged for you to do.'" God saved Paul because he had things for him to do. God wanted Paul to be a missionary to the Gentiles. "I've put you on the team," God in effect told Paul, "and now I want you in the game." A woman named Lydia was brought to faith through the mission activity of Paul. She was remembered yesterday in some calendars of the church. Lydia was from the city of Thyatira, but was living in Philippi when Paul visited there. A seller of expensive purple cloth, she had attached herself to Judaism and then was brought into the Christian faith through the efforts of St. Paul. The Bible tells how Lydia was brought to saving faith in Acts chapter 16. "On the day of worship, we went out of the city to a place along the river where we thought Jewish people gathered for prayer. We sat down and began talking to the women who had gathered there. A woman named Lydia was present. She was a convert to Judaism from the city of Thyatira and sold purple dye for a living. She was listening because the Lord made her willing to pay attention to what Paul said. Lydia and her family were baptized." That wasn't the end of it, however. Faith shows itself in action. Acts goes on to say this: "When Lydia and her family were baptized, she invited us to stay at her home. She said, 'If you're convinced that I believe in the Lord, then stay at my home.' She insisted, so we did." That same chapter, Acts 16, tells us that Paul and Silas were put in jail in Philippi for a brief time. What did they do when they were released? Acts 16:40, "After Paul and Silas left the jail, they went to Lydia's house. They met with the believers, encouraged them, and then left." Lydia wasn't only on the Christian team, she was in the game. She opened her heart and home to the followers of Jesus. Jesus said in the third Beatitude, Blessed are those who are gentle, they will inherit the earth. The word translated gentle also suggests being considerate and courteous. Lydia was blessed. So was Dorcas. Like Lydia, Dorcas lived an active Christian life. Her Hebrew name was Tabitha. Her Greek name, Dorcas, means an antelope or a gazelle. She lived in Joppa and was always doing good things for people and had given much to the poor. Jesus also spoke a beatitude that applies to Dorcas. In the fifth beatitude, he says, "Blessed are those who show mercy. They will be treated mercifully." To show mercy means to do good works for others. Dorcas did that, helping the poor. Because she was merciful, she was given a special mercy from God. Acts chapter 9 tells how Dorcas was blessed. A disciple named Tabitha lived in the city of Joppa. Her Greek name was Dorcas. She always helped people and gave things to the poor. She became sick and died. Her body was prepared for burial and was laid in an upstairs room. Lydda is near the city of Joppa. When the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him. They begged Peter, "Hurry to Joppa. We need your help." So Peter went with them. When he arrived, he was taken upstairs. All the widows stood around him. They were crying and showing Peter the articles of clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter made everyone leave the room. He knelt and prayed. Then he turned toward the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Tabitha opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. Peter took her hand and helped her stand up. After he called the believers, especially the widows, he presented Tabitha to them. She was alive. The news about this spread throughout the city of Joppa, and as a result, many people believed in the Lord. There were other Christians remembered in the calendar of the church this past week. There was Titus. Titus was a Greek. Paul said of Titus, "Because of your faith, you are like a son to me." Titus seems to have been St. Paul's troubleshooter, sent to various locales in the church where problems had erupted. Blessed Titus. Jesus said in the seventh beatitude, "Blessed are those who make peace. They will be called God's children." Timothy and Silas were also remembered in the calendar of the church this past week. Much can be said about these super Christians, including the fact that they were imprisoned because of their faith. Blessed Timothy, blessed Silas. Jesus said in the eighth beatitude, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for doing what God approves of. The kingdom of heaven belongs to them." I call these people super Christians. It's really better to call them saints. It's not that they were better than other people. They were sinners, just like you and I. We shouldn't worship them or pray to them. They needed Jesus just as much as you and I do. These saints are examples to us that we should be believing, active Christians. You and I shouldn't only be on the Christian team. We should be in the game. Oh, it's not that you have to do things to be saved. I hope you understand that. We've talked about that often on this program. But out of gratitude for God saving you through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you want to lead an active Christian life. You want to get into the game. Like someone said, Christianity, true Christianity, is not a spectator sport. When today's program is over, open up your Bible. Take a look at the Beatitudes in Matthew 5. Learn there what you can do to lead a more active Christian life in gratitude for all that God has done for you. Until next time, think about this. If athletes strive to win a ring, shouldn't the devotion of our hearts and the activities of our lives strive for God's eternal blessing? Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.